Well, we'll see how this goes. Exciting day in paradise. I tell ya, it's Memorial Day, and I gotta be at work early tomorrow, so I'm taking off this afternoon. Hoity-toity, they go, well, you have to be prepared for things to be the way they are. That's the one thing you have to figure with God, and I think so many people don't get. They're so accustomed to creating a God of their own make. Well, my God would behave this way. My God would be okay with this kind of behavior. My God isn't that sort of a person. And you know, I would proceed carefully because. heard of.
Not compensatory.
regardless, this showed the power of the bureaucracy, although ostensibly kind of under the executive branch, really not, operates on its own.
Probably his entire family.
instead of that group being loyal, quote, servants to protect him and make sure that his dirty laundry isn't exposed. This is that kind of threat. It's unspoken. Nothing had to be said. Show him a video of White House Down, where a couple of rogue Secret Service agents took control of the White House, and he get the picture immediately. And it's like, those guys would not be affected by a government shutdown. They go, there's the video. And it's like, oh, okay, well, I'll go and I'll do whatever needs to be done. Politics aside. Now, politics will certainly be a factor, and they were, at least on paper.
Thing is, he's not
sights off of where the true power lies, which is in the bureaucracy. Well, anyway, that's not how the Celestial Kingdom works. There is a bureaucracy, but everybody knows who runs the place.
Yeah.
money that might be perceived to be higher than they were. The British system how democratic or not democratic it is, I know that the United States was not democratic republic. But people don't get to have an actual say. They get to choose who will make the decisions. That's what a republic is. I am a monarchist. I'm not against the United States. I know it's corrupt. I know it's got huge problems. I know people have found ways to subvert the system. You can't just elect anybody to a position of power and that'll solve things. You have to elect the right people, and typically the right person isn't even on offer. It's not even on the program. Both of the people, or at least the field of people that you have that are capable of winning, usually from the two parties in the United States, for instance, both are usually well-vetted, pre-corrupted, and just not, you know, shouldn't be letting these people make decisions. They're up there for 10 other reasons besides being the right person for the job. But, you know, you go, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to move to a monarchy? And you go, no, I know what's coming. The one that's ruled over by Jesus Christ. He will be the king. And as king is far better than any democracy, than any republic we see. More of a democratization of leadership doing a bad job. The Book of Mormon talks about it and says, by and large, people do not want evil. But at some point, they might get to the point to where they do want evil. We see it rather, oh my gosh. So they came and checked, that car took off its tire. Oh my gosh. Heard of that. That the people are so corrupted that they will actually, a majority of the electorate will vote in evil, and then they are ripe for destruction. And I think we're very, very close to that. Too many people vote for the person that will promise them the most free stuff. The person that's most willing to take from rich people, confiscate from rich people, and buy your favor with that money. People think it's kind of a Robin Hood thing. You know, you take from the rich, you give to the poor. That all sounds very cute, but that's evil. That's evil. I'm a person, I think I've said this a few times before in these recordings, is the whole idea of, I'm not in favor of term limits. I don't believe in term limits for any of these people. I think if you get a good person to assent to do battle for you in Congress or in the presidency or something like that, I want the ability to be able to continue getting them back in power, to remain in power, to have power as much as they want it. I know people say, well, that just doesn't work when you go, but, you know, I understand what you're saying. I understand that. I said, but putting on term limits isn't going to solve the problem. It's going to make sure the power moves from a place that regular citizens can have any influence. Harder into the bureaucracy where you have no control over it at all. And you are basically slaves to whatever the bureaucrats say. Remember COVID-19? All the things that got put into place. And we were all afraid of what they might do, and they did a lot of it. And they were constantly wanting more power, and everybody was pretty okay with letting them have that power. It's just that simple. Well, regardless, that's why it's like, no, you know, it says now, during this earth life, I'm not so hot on monarchies now. In the millennium, oh yes, I'm absolute monarchies. I am an absolute, I'm absolutely for the power, all power being invested in one single person. Lord Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews, the God of Israel. I'm an absolute supporter of that. I'm not the guy to come back and go, I'd rather have a republic. We need to have checks on power. You go, no, I want them to have all power. I have ultimate trust in him. And he can be trusted with every single grain of power that can ever be. And I will follow him. And I will go where he goes. And I will be under his rule. And happily so. The big question is, and you know, a whole lot of Christians will say, oh, that sounds good to me. Yeah, I'll do that too. And you're going, okay, says, now that's fine. Keep talking like that, please do. Says, but I'm not going to be surprised if a lot of you people just can't actually do it. You want to be independent, you want to be free. Can I tell you? Under Jesus Christ as your King, that's where you will enjoy the most freedom to progress. Now, if the freedom that you want is to do whatever you want, That's, you know, you're probably not going to want Jesus Christ ruling over you directly. The terrestrial and the celestial kingdoms. The second and the third main rewards. I can see them having a variety of different governments. I've always kind of thought that the terrestrial kingdom is second, but you have to be reasonably good to get there. You know, you can't be an adulterer, you can't be a murderer, you can't have been a person who bore false witness. You can't have been a person that, I forget what the Hebrew interpretation of the English rendition of "Thou shalt not steal" comes out to be. I seem to recall hearing it this morning. I just don't remember. I wouldn't be surprised if that was quite socialistic. I was looking at it like, everybody says, most like the government need to go to the house. Like, okay, we need to keep out the riffraff. And, it's a nice place. You start tearing things up, you don't have to be worried about people stealing from you. There's just a whole lot of things that just don't happen for it. Or if you're in the Telestial Kingdom, it's just like here on Earth. It's nicer. You don't have to worry about the environment. Everything like that's going to be fine. Very, it's incorruptible. Your surroundings, the actual place. Now, the people there are hideous people. And there's plenty of them. And the people who are here that just couldn't keep basic commandments. I really do see the basic drawing line between the Telestial and Terrestrial Kingdom being basically the Ten Commandments. If you can keep the Ten Commandments, you can go to the Terrestrial Kingdom. And the sad part is how few people will actually be there. Really, truly. Compared to how many people are in the Telestial, which didn't really keep rules for one reason or another. And in the end, really say, I don't want to keep the rules. He's made it nice so that when people go, hey man, the place you're going to get to go to, you don't have to. You don't have to really keep any of the commandments to go to some place nice. It's nice. Evil isn't going to tell you that you're going to have to pay for all your sins. But that you're going to have to make that you're going to have to be clean before you can proceed, and that may be a painful process, but unpleasant, and that's a euphemism. Sure, it will be far from just being unpleasant. Anyway, so yeah, can you keep the Ten Commandments? Some people struggle with that. Look at people today. You go, there's 10 rules you got to keep. My golly, how hard is that? You go, apparently, really quite hard. Everybody is apt money well, you know, if I didn't have to worry about money, I'd be a better person. I think that's funny because I pretty much grew up on the poor side. A reasonable chunk of my adult life, I was poor, especially for my family, since I had six kids. And a lot of people say, well, people who do evil, it's okay because they're poor. You know, it's almost like being poor is being stupid or being evil at its heart is a constituent part of poverty. That's not true. Plenty of poor people are perfectly upright. In fact, I think God said that, you know, getting a rich man in the kingdom of heaven is like trying to get a camel through the eye of a needle. You know, people have different interpretations of different needs. Goes to show you, becoming rich and successful in this world has more to do with appeasing evil than doing bad things. It does for poor people, although, you know, the propaganda is definitely close the other way. Now, that doesn't mean that poor people aren't paragons of pride. Oh, look at me. Oh, look at my suffering. Oh, pity me. But you're going, you know what? So that's not going to be a negative in it. Because you'll pride justify yourself into doing a lot of very despicable things. Crimes attached to poverty are more likely to get yourself killed. The sins attached to riches and success are far more likely to get you sent to damnation. Although both of them ultimately end up in the same place. There is no inherent virtue to poverty. I think was taking a thing and said, here's the problem. Rich people will often do anything they need to do to either get rich or stay rich. At least when you're poor, you don't have those sorts of temptations. It doesn't mean that you aren't evil on another level. It doesn't mean that you're any less likely to get to feel like laws shouldn't apply to you right now in a lot of cities. Stealing up to $1,000 ends up being a misdemeanor that most people don't care. You know, that's a slap on the hand in a lot of jurisdictions, a lot of places. And that's, you know, and that's just as likely to, I mean, those are the same rules that are likely to get you. You can't go to the social kingdom. So, we're in Santa Rosa. I'm gonna fill up in Mountain Air, but I tell you, I might not have much gas for it. flower gardens. So yeah, I said don't think that that any of these things are going to profit you particularly. Rather ascetic ways play up certain temptations, and you know, I don't tell other people that they need to be ascetic too. I just need. That's what I do. That's my level of toleration. I end up just avoiding a lot of stuff. I don't tell other people that this is the way they need to live. I really don't. It's not required by God, and therefore I don't tell other people to do it. No, I do it, but it doesn't mean that it's the right way to go. I'm not here putting myself forward as some kind of an example. When people say, you know, let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I try to do good works, but I don't put myself up to some kind of an example. Other people can look at me and say, well, I'm willing to do that, but I'm not going to do that. You know, this whole living out in the desert on a, you know, in a cheap PVC geodesic dome and a sailboat for bed every night. I don't say that is the road to heaven. It's just what I do. Does it protect me from certain things? Sure. But does it make me, you know, does it give me problems? Absolutely. Anyway, so. Likes a lot of things. I make her crazy because I keep being philosophical about it. And she hates that. And so I have to keep her mouth shut and just do something else while she's watching the show. Kind of a thing. She said, but, you know, we can watch these things together. And then she goes, oh, I don't want to watch it together. I keep forgetting that you will want to discuss all this. And she's not interested in discussing this. This is not her thing. tell you. I love my wife. She's the best friend in the whole world. She's a different person.
Mitsubishi Mirage.
find myself writing more and more about setting good expectations of what you should expect from Jesus Christ. So many people think that just Jesus is just running around trying to save you from your evil natures, that he's so anxious to do it. Far more anxious than you are. Christ will put forth so much more effort than you will. And that's what people see, you know. I don't know if Christians, if kind of the praise song Christians are really, I don't think they really look along those lines. Talk about how amazing Jesus Christ is, and it's almost to the point, you know, they almost kind of pride themselves on their status as sinners. You know, oh, look how much I say, oh, I'm a sinner. And you're going, well, why don't you stop? Christ told the woman, take in adultery. You know, he didn't forgive her. He told her to sin no more. Don't you think he might say that to us as well? Say that to you? If you go up and you go, oh, I am such a sinner, but you're so wonderful, and it really ends up being, oh, I'm saved by love. Because Christ loves me so much, it kind of becomes a close cousin to that. The whole, I'm a sinner, Christ, please save me. You are my Lord, my Savior. Romans, grace Christians. Scriptures. Not to downplay grace, but he wants some sweat equity on your part. And let me tell you what the sweat equity is. It isn't making a token effort to stop sinning. No. That is your token effort, is to stop sinning. People rarely give it respect, honor, the kind of weight needed. Trust me, keeping the commandments that Jesus Christ gave us. People were talking about first the Ten Commandments, then the Two Commandments, and they say, well, then they only ended up with one, you know. As I have loved you, love one another. The New Commandment. And you're going, well, I don't know if I'm going to reach that. And you go, well, then how pathetic are you? Said, Christ doesn't think much of you until you can attain that. Look, you love everybody. Totally doable. Totally available. It can be done. Do it. Because typically, after that, you don't have a sinful nature particularly. Will bring you to the Father and say, they're mine, they kept my commandments, therefore, they they go forward with me. That is not sin cover. That's not sin cover. That is you're changing. You're becoming a different person. You put the needs of other people ahead of yourself. You put their salvation ahead of your own. That's how you get saved, is by being more concerned about the salvation of other people. It's very powerful when people say, well, then I don't need to repent. You go, trust me, as you're doing all this stuff, you will be becoming the kind of person that repents. It'll come. Don't be so concerned about perfection. That was one scripture. And we don't know what perfect means. We don't know what that means. Jesus Christ apparently was perfect. Wine bibber, hanging out with sinners, doing who knows what. We really don't have a very large record of what he did, besides his miracles and his, some of the things he taught, things like that. We have no idea what perfection is. And Christ even says, don't look at me. Be like my Father in heaven is perfect. And you're going, well, I don't know. I don't have a clue what that means. Because I have no idea about Heavenly Father. I don't know. And you go, so don't get so wadded up in that. Do what Christ told you to do. Obey his commandments. Take my yoke upon you, which is obeying his commandments. I mean all of them. My burden's easy. Sorry. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. It's not difficult. It's usually having to do with, I'm just not going to treat people like that anymore. I'm going to be far more concerned about Christ, what Christ and Heavenly Father want me to do. But I'm worried about impressing my friends, that I'm worrying about how I look to my neighbors, you know, about getting ahead in business or something like that. Whether those things happen or not is immaterial. You should be far more concerned with what God thinks of you. And that leads you to becoming the person you need to be. Can you perfectly keep all the commandments? Oh, crap, yes. You can do a fantastically fast job of that. You can change your life. Now, nobody's saying you have to do it in a minute. Well, it shouldn't be hard. It's like smoking. Can you go from being a smoker to a non-smoker? Yes, it is a conscious decision you can make. And is it going to be difficult? Yes, because you have cravings to do. You know, to do nicotine. Just the same as sinning. I always thought it was interesting because I guess I never looked at it that way. I had a couple of sins. And I'll be upfront with them. Sins of fantasization, sexual, and masturbation. And, I'm not fantastically perfect at it yet, but I'm a whole lot better than I was. And, I keep working on it. And the time between times when I fall down, it's described as one's favorite sins. The sins they like to do. Have to get past those.
go, can you be perfect? And they go, yes, absolutely. I mean, in that you don't do those things anymore. It's like somebody who's trying to decide they're going to stop smoking or stop drinking. And those were addictions. You decide one day to stop doing them. It isn't like you tapered off on them because that doesn't work. It's like a cold turkey thing. And you stop doing them. And you go, can you just stop sinning? And you go, yes, you can. Because usually it is two, maybe three sins that really get your goat, and that you can't seem to break. And you can get there. And it does, you know, and it's like, well, this is, you stop behaving like that? Well, yeah. Now, some of them are hard, but some of these aren't really sins. When they say getting angry, and you go, that's not a sin. It's like, sorry. I said, it's not good. It's not good for your health, but can I be honest? The elevating of it to sin, now, it can lead to a sin. Most assuredly, it can lead to a sin.
This person can't seem to do better than 60. I think that's sort of actually just following this person. I'm going to see what it looks like. Tempting them. It looks like these guys are people from Mexico coming and picking up vehicles and taking them back to Mexico. This is a lot of people do this on this road.
Pound it, until you just aren't sinning anymore. Because sin has more to do with, like, a debt than it does with doing individual infractions of commandments. difficult. Christ doesn't make the job insurmountable at all. It's quite doable. And does he make up for the rest? Yes. Is that his grace? Yes. Gracious. Everybody thinks it's one or the other. It's either works or grace. And you go, it's both. You have to reach a certain standard, then Christ will take you the rest of the way. You go, and the standard is stop sinning.
Christ was the sacrifice
that was a person, the only person, so they can be the only one that would live, who did not have blemish, the blemish of sin. When Jesus says there's only two basic ones, love God, love your neighbor, and then you start to work through exactly what that means. And I don't know if it ends up being this is what it means to me. You go, well, okay. You know, ultimately, you see a lot of people doing the same things because that's what a lot of people got from the Spirit. And that's how it kind of works. It's almost funny. I will get some kind of spiritual impression about one topic or another, and I'll even talk about it on here, and I guess you can go back. And then it'll be hilarious. I'll go listen to General Conference, apostles and prophets and their associates, the 70s, and general officers, and you'll hear the same things being said, and it's like, what? And you go, yeah. And they go, well, that's weird. Why aren't you one of those prophets? And you go, it's okay that I'm not a prophet that way. He says, the whole point is, that gives me confirmation that the information that I received through spiritual impressions and studying the scriptures and doing things like that, amazing, it's the same impressions that those guys are getting. And you go, you know what? I must be listening to the Spirit. I must be okay. And then, but this is now. Does that mean you're perfect? Does that mean you're wonderful? Does that mean you can stop? Does that mean that you don't, you don't have to try anymore? It's like, of course not. But what it does mean is, you're on the right track. You're on the right road. You're pointed in the right direction. Making progress, which is what God wants to see more than anything else. Because if you stay on a road, if you're trying to get to a destination, Chicago, for instance, you get on the old Route 66, and you know that one of the terminuses of Route 66 is Chicago. And if you keep following that road, if you stay on that road and you don't get turned around, you keep going in the right direction. It doesn't matter if you're going really fast, it doesn't matter if you're going 80 miles an hour, or if you're going 20, given what your capabilities are, God's pretty nice about things like that. It's like the old days, when you presented a baby to the Lord, you were supposed to bring a bullock or something. But if you were poor, you could bring two turtle doves, which is a lot cheaper. It was for that. You can do it. It isn't based on how rich you are, how smart you are, or anything like that. It's based on you continuing to strive to go forward and your obedience. Go forth, be obedient. Got sins, work on eliminating those sins. Just like you would debt. Learn how to get out of debt. Learn how to get out of sin. I think that is a lot simpler. Because most sin has to do with bad habits. You overcome bad habits. You keep doing it. It's like an addiction. Debt's an addiction. Alcohol's an addiction. If you fall off the bandwagon and you go and you have a drink, what do you do? You get back on the bandwagon. It says, I don't drink. And then you get better and better at it until you look back and you go, I haven't drunk in years. Now don't go out and celebrate in the sense that, well, I'm going to go have a beer because, I've overcome this addiction. Go and have some water. Go and celebrate with a steak dinner or something. Just make sure you don't do alcohol. That's what you're trying to stay away from. Anyway, these things are quite doable. That's what Christ is talking about. When he says There's a lot of grace involved. There is. You aren't going to be this amazing, fantastic, amazing person. But you can keep the commandments that Jesus has outlined there. And Jesus said, if you can get this far, I'll take you the rest of the way. That's grace. You can't, by your own power, get yourself to heaven. I get so weary of people who say, oh, well, they think they can behavior themselves into being perfect like God. You go, you know what? You guys work so hard to make sure that the right path and what Christ wants you to do looks silly. It looks like, oh, that's never going to work. Come on! You know, that's not what's being talked about. And it's not you not being able to keep up the standard, but you're trying, and Christ makes up the difference. Although you can't look at it that way, I don't think that's wrong. I think it's better to say, keep the commandments, and Christ will, through His grace, bring you to the celestial kingdom. That's why He's so poignant about getting baptized. Because that really says something. That is one of those wonderful Jewish outer shows of some kind of devotion. It isn't the only thing. He says you have to keep the commandments too. He says you have to be a better person. Become a better person. But that you don't have to be fantastic. You don't have to find the way to heaven by yourself, because you can't do it. You can't get there from here. You just can't by your own power. And I know you say, but that road, didn't you say that if I keep walking down this road, I'll make it? You go, yeah, because at some point, Christ picks you up and takes you the rest of the way. And it's like, oh, and do you not think of that as Christ's grace? Well, yes, I do. And he goes, there you go. I don't understand what your larger problem is with any of this. I think it's troublesome because other people who claim Christianity say that Christ will just pick you up and take you there without you doing a darn thing. I got so... There was an old Amy Grant song, and one of the lines in there is, I can't be good because I'm not able. I'm going to leave it to the Lord. It's like, yeah, it says, it's like you just offer. It is the whole part, and many Christians have this idea of surrender. I'm surrendering myself to Jesus Christ. What the heck does that mean? That means you become His puppet, and He will animate you, and He will make you do good things, even though you don't want to. So that's what I'm sorry. I can't accept that. Because that doesn't do you any good. The whole point is to make you holy, if you clean, so where God is, you can go. talking about how amazing Jesus is. Although he is. God should make some good things of Jesus, not of you. Especially if you're saying, I'm not able. And you know, stupid. You work on it.
Authoritative
orphan. Ta-da! And you can go, that's wrong, that's wrong. And you go, amen. What justifies you? What justifies what you did?
Freeland.
it's like, oh, okay. Need to be typing on a computer. This is why you really want to make sure you have a good ward clerk or branch clerk. It's because this stuff needs to be done. You don't want to leave this stuff hanging out there. It's bad. Don't do it. Because it's tied to a lot of things. Who baptized you? Oh, this guy. Okay. This guy had the authority. Good. And I see you're baptized. Great.
Cheek.
And it could go on. Might not even be a conversation there. I just say name, birthday. Okay. And you go through. If you have a baptism that's authoritative, you go one way. If you don't have a baptism, that was authoritative, and that's really the only criteria. It's like, well, I was baptized by Pastor Jim. And you go, sorry. And it's not even a question. You go, oh, how's it going? And you go, this way, that way. And you go, what decides which way you're going? And then this big kind of pusher just pushes you through. And it's like, your questions get answered later. They go, but wait a minute. Maybe I want to go the other way. And they go, no. You know, it's like, and then it kind of happens, man. I always thought it was going to be like two buddies. Anyway, up and give you the spicy stuff. I don't want the spicy stuff. I think you have a session where you bear your testimony. Organizing the work in heaven to bring souls back. Salt, vitamin C, sorbic acid, sorbate, citric acid, poisonous lectin of vitamin C. Excellent. It's got a ton of sodium. But I'm not so sure sodium is a bad, salt's a bad thing. One thing is said, so you want to put tons of trust in it. Anyway, so, and then the people who didn't get baptized, now that first sorting isn't the only sorting. It isn't just baptism. If there's sin you didn't repent for, I think it ultimately ends up being kind of how dirty are you? Maybe there's a dirt coat being. You gotta be clean. All your sins from earth need to be paid for. That's what you should be grateful about in the ending of life. People go, well, can't people repent of their sins up there? You go, no. That's where you pay for your sins. Can't they choose a better path? They go, oh, there's nothing to say, they can't. It's just not done through repentance anymore. It's done by you paying for your sins and becoming clean. Do it through repentance on earth, easy, not tough at all. through having you suffer like Jesus suffered. And you should be grateful that you're a spirit as opposed to having a body. I hear it's pretty wrong. In fact, I kind of hear that you can't pay for your sins on earth because you're just not capable of withstanding the process of cleansing. You know, it's like going through the refiner's fire. It's like going through Fuller's soap. That's the cleaning process. Spirit prison goes to the cleansing center. They get a little time away from it to learn about the gospel, to learn about the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're not interested in it, you don't have to go. You can stay in the cleansing center. It says, but it opens up more opportunities for you. Or at least, Latter-day Saints think so. They go, well, I don't know. I don't have any interest in those guys. I don't know. You can go someplace nice, yes. Will the celestial kingdom seem like heaven? Compared to here? Oh, yes. It's going to be beautiful and wonderful. And you're going to say, oh, man, I want to go there. Of course, they go, oh, those crazy Latter-day Saints, they think you can go to someplace nicer. The Christians kind of do, too. They don't get it. What's going to happen? It's all based on stuff. Now, baptism here on earth has that dual purpose. Not only is it your ticket to paradise after death, but it also is a cleansing. Now, up there, I don't know. I don't know if it's a cleansing or not. How I picture it, how I think a novelization of this can go is that once you are purified, it doesn't matter if you go through the fire. It's okay. Ultimately, everybody goes through purification. It just doesn't bother them at a certain point. Because you're clean. Clean like metal is clean, clean of impurities. Once you're clean of impurities, going through the fire, you know, you're not hurt. You're not being changed, you're not being altered anymore. You're clean. Now, clean doesn't make you fantastic or perfect. Clean just makes you clean. If you are gold, you'll be pure gold. If you're silver, you'll be pure silver. If you're bronze, well, you'll be pure bronze without any impurities. Or if you're brass or whatever. Whatever indicates pureness, you know, we can look at it in a whole bunch of different ways about what are basal elements, and it will be what your basal element is. And then I think judgment has a lot to do to say what your composition is. Are you gold? Are you silver? Are you bronze? Are you something else? I guess there are some that are going to be so dirty, so disgusting, so bad, such a horrible constitution, that it just ends up being, you know, what's that thing Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. You know, you you're a bad nut. And so you go down the garbage chute. And that's what happens. That may constitute judgment. What are you made of? What are you? How judgment goes. And you go, it sounds almost kind of mechanical. And you go, well, I thought it was like court. I thought I got to defend myself. I got to make excuses for how I was. I got to try to schmooze the judge. If I was a good talker, I could get myself something better. You go, no. Well, it all has to do with those fleshy tablets of your heart. What you really wanted to do. Go to one of these things where they go, hey, these guys talk about Jesus Christ. Yeah. And you look at those guys and you go, well, those guys, hello. They're amazing. Now this has been indicated by people from the Middle East. It seems like there are groups that are kind of followers of John the Baptist and the way he lived. And they would interface sometimes, especially in the Iraqi war, with Latter-day Saints. And they would go, you have this, it's almost kind of an aura thing, you know. You just have this glow about you. What's the story with that? guess is hard to describe. I think that's why it'll be up in the spirit world too, because the spirits have, you know, better eyes, better insights into what's going on, into what's being said, and or have better vision into a person's heart or soul or whatever, however you want to try and describe it. And they can say, why am I so dirty? I feel so icky. And it isn't like you can just take a hose and hose off. It isn't just exterior, it's interior too. It's like I am eking this gross stuff. It's like oil coming out of me. And it's like, ugh. And they go, but I look at that guy and he doesn't have any of that. He's just glowing. You hear a lot of different voices up there. It's not different than it is down here to a large extent. You know, I can only imagine it's like the telemarketers, hey, I can make you skinny and look really good, and you'll be really amazing. Or if you come with me, if you do my program, you don't have to go and talk to those Latter-day Saint people. You know how kooky they are. They're just as kooky up here as they were down there. Now people look and they'll say, I wanted to show you. Shiny people, they move on. You go, what happened to them? They're gone. There might be voices there saying, hey, man, you don't want to be where they're going. Oh, sirree. Got to be clean. You know, if it takes a whole lot of trips through cleaning to get you clean, then it's going to be painful. It's going to be real painful.
Different
It was supposed to represent the kingdoms, but it also could have represented, you know, the kind of standards you had, the kind of things you did, the kind of people you were. And where you stand.
Take a look real fast. Do 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 do. Danielle? Danielle? Statue. Kingdoms, there we go. Sometimes with a statue or... Oh, don't give me these big ones. Tell me the medals that they were. The four kingdoms. I thought there might be five. And 45. This is Bible says. I'm not using LDS resources to do this because I don't. This is interesting enough that I don't think they really screwed it up. Oh, they're going through this really deep dive, and it's like, just give me the. You know what? I just want to see Daniel 2:44 through 45. Let's look that up. King James Version that I have available to me. No! Whew. Always hoping the place is open. You go, man, it's Memorial Day. It's a holiday. Let them have some. Let them have some peace, man. It's because I'm on the road. New Testament. No, Old Testament. Sorry. Oops. Oops, oops, oops. Wait. Much better. You know, hit it just right to get all this gunk. I'm not really a fan of the font. Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, Esther, just probably Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, because Ecclesiastes is in Daniel. Daniel 2. Okay. Days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. The kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms. It shall stand forever. Wait a minute. Okay. So, what do we got? Oops. Okay, I think we need to go a little bit before that. Okay, Nebuchadnezzar, hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. So there's gold, number one. And after thee shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee, which was the silver one, and then another one of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. Fourth kingdom shall be as iron. That's number four. For as much as iron breaketh in pieces, and it breaketh all these, it shall break into pieces and bruise. And sauce the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron. Iron, Fe, no problem. There's purity there too. So that's kind of the mixed up one, five. Thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. As for the toes of the feet that were part of iron, part of clay, the king shall be partly strong and partly broken. So that's the five, right? Gold, silver. What's the next one? Brass. Brass. Iron. And then the iron mix. So those are the five. So it would work, maybe. Whoa. Okay, I'm dead.
Sheesh. All right, here, let's get back to the recording. Which we're doing fine. All right.
So gold is the top of the celestial, silver is the middle, brass is the bottom, the celestial, then the terrestrial is iron, and then the bottom one is iron with clay. Part strong, part not.
And, you know, it seems seems like Christ is almost the assay to say this is what this is. Gold, silver, bronze, iron, and iron cups. Choice you have after that is if you accept work being done for you by members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. If you accept it, great. If you don't accept it, that's fine too. But just know that places are close to you if you don't get baptized. Doesn't even talk about the six apostles, but they were set in darkness. Christ talks about it. So you go, I don't think that exists. You go, wow. So Christ talked about it. has had some plays where we've been wailing a national team. And Christ would never make anybody suffer like that. You know, even if that was like this. You know, maybe you don't want to share this with kids. You go, but that's up to you. At some point, they matter. So they know what's going on. Just adultery. You adultery. Adultery in gold, silver, or brass. Brass is an alloy, though. Is it an alloy of that's the other stuff. Let's take a look at our list. Let's take a look at the bronze. Metal alloys used extensively in everyday objects. Brass is an alloy of copper and zinc. Bronze is mainly consists of copper combined most often with tin, also with other metals. This too has various uses. Okay. Made of brass. So it's copper. That just didn't take me.
that's how things are determined. I still think the celestial kingdom is, by and large, is the three separations of it constitute the people who are doing this amazing work. It's basically people who have been baptized by a person with proper authority. That means that they're also going to be teachers. But the actual cleansing process, let's say, happens at the very beginning. And almost everything that Jesus taught about this earth was to save you pain in paradise and prison. Comes through and he goes, yeah, he says, wow, I went through that cleaning, you know, that was uncomfortable. And the other guy goes, wow, I wouldn't call it just uncomfortable. That was the biggest horror, pain I've ever experienced. I had gout. The lady told me this was nothing like childbirth. They said, it was horrible, and it took forever. My biggest desire was for it to end, for it to stop, and it didn't stop. And then finally, it was over. Oh my gosh. Of course, now he finally goes, okay, it's done. And he's refined iron. You look into him and you see this big old chunk of iron. But it's kinda got brown spots in it. You go, oh no. They go, what's the story with that? That doesn't look very good. Look at mine. This is mine. Shines like the sun. Whoa.
you know, and somebody who has kind of a moon thing, which is silver, and you go, yeah, yours is kind of like silver. And you go, it's not blinding. It's not like those gold, like Goldie over there. He's like, wow. Bronze guy, he isn't as bright. But still nice, still nice. And these things are all shiny. They've all got a shine to them. And then you run into Iron guy, and it's just, it's not shiny. Iron isn't shiny. And then, of course, iron with Fuller's clay is even you know, it's not even solid. Doesn't particularly shine either. It gets tarnished fast. But you make it out of brass, and that one stays pretty nice. It doesn't have that luster like gold does. And it doesn't have the effervescent beauty of silver. But still shiny. So I like the whole thing of it, and about the kind of interplay you can have with these people. Go into outer darkness, they never come out the other side of the screaming and yelling. You know, when people say, this is hell, and hell is fire, and stuff like that. And you go, what happens to the other people? This is they never come out the other side. They don't. Couple of guys I saw that went in. They didn't have a choice. You know, the pusher pushes you in. Thank you. wrist. Goop tar. Flammable. That's the whole thing. He says that tar and that gunk that you had, he said it's all so much petrochemical, man. Wah! He says, if that's all that constitutes your heart, that's all you got. There is no clean now. You know, people say, oh, you can move from one kingdom to another. You can progress. You can get better. It's like, I'm sorry, folks. We don't do alchemy here. There is no alchemy here. You will go where your behavior makes sense. You will be given a place where you can abide that law and that glory. It's pretty much locked in at death. There's a lot of good people that couldn't get baptized. They'll be given the opportunity be baptized. You go, but if they're iron, baptism isn't going to do them any good. Because they don't even qualify. You know, it's like saying, you don't have stuff. You're not even bronze. You're iron. But take much time at all. And then it's all through and you're going, hey, I'm done. Yay! So, think of it that way. But also, if you've got a lot of gunk, I tell you what, it's probably a petrochemical. Tar, slime, something that, frankly, that burns. It can be burned off. That's great. If that's all you've got is petrochemicals and you don't have anything else, this isn't it. You're just going to burn. Everybody has to go through a little bit of cleaning. So you don't even have to make a larger determination yet. It's like you can go ahead and do the cleaning part, and then comes the nice part. People who shine, you kind of determine whether they're baptized or not. And if they're not, you make sure that they have the opportunity. Has to have the gospel explained to them, but he has to be. To have the plan presented to them. Sorry, Father.
anyway.
You can make it so that once the millennium happens, there's a more direct way of doing it, and you can actually ascertain people who weren't baptized and people who are. People are baptized. Anyway. And then you can get them baptized instead of going through and basically baptizing every single person that's ever been. And you go, well, these people don't, these people, baptism is meaningless to them because they aren't shining. And you go, yeah, that's one of the things. They're just not shining. And if they're not shining, it's not. Well, God doesn't make the judgment yet. You go, well, can I tell you? There's a whole lot of processing. The people who are good, the people who are teachers, that don't have to do a lot of cleanup, they will already be gone through the system by the time you come out of your cleansing. He says, they've probably all passed on. They've all gone through the entire process. Feel like never have they done some damage. Wow. It's kind of a big one. Gotta tell you, it was jackrabbit. But he was going fast, and that he came out right in front of me. There's nothing I can do. The last car I had, or the last car that we had, our PT Cruiser, there was an animal that was out in front of it, and they tore up my car. It was a much passed through that was destined for something nicer and for which baptism could be efficacious for somebody who had not had the opportunity before. You have to understand, the closer you get to the end, the far more readily you had an opportunity hear the gospel, and you just didn't take advantage of it. That's kind of the way it works. Thank you. church was talking about deathbed repentance and how that just by nature, by logic, isn't going to be terribly efficacious. Now, it's better than not doing it, I tell you that. But will it change somebody from being wired into gold quickly, that quickly? And you go, no. Now that's not how it works. When you're alive, everything's fleshy. Everything can change relatively easily. That's the great wonder of mortality. These fleshy tablets can change quite readily. It says, now, in the spirit world, I don't think you change much. It says in there, the kind of person you were when you died, you'll continue to be in the spirit world. You don't change. So everybody who says, oh, you can repent there, and you go, I don't know. He says, me, personally, and this is one of my big things, don't bank on such things. It has every chance of not working out. Not being the clean slate that you thought it should be. Because you should have taken the time. It's not about that you have the opportunity to become a different person. What you have the opportunity to do is make up for a lack of something that wasn't available. You can't change the kind of person you are at that time. That time's over. You are who you are. If you're a shiny person, gold, silver, bronze, you lived in circumstances where you never heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that can be remedied. But that's mostly a clerical thing. You can, you don't have to be a follower of Jesus Christ during mortality to be a good person, a great person, an obedient person, given what you had and what you were exposed to. Maybe that's kind of a question of the Noahide commandments. There wasn't as much to it, but you still had basic commandments given to you. The Jews have this commandment system. The good things will still come to you if you keep the Noahide commandments that were basically given to Noah. as opposed to the ones given to later to Moses.
Everybody.